Good morning, everyone. How are you doing? We're continuing in our series from the book of Matthew. If you'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 21. In our passage today, starts with a question. Jesus tells a story. The story becomes a challenge to our integrity of faith. How serious are we about being people who are true to our faith? On the one hand, here we are in a church service. Appearances are good. We're a church family together. But are we a community of living faith 24/7 in our lives? A question of Jesus. Jesus tells a story. He challenges our integrity of faith. Let's have a listen. So we're at Matthew 21, and we're going to be at verse 23 in just a moment. I was actually thinking about this and thinking about the challenge that comes. And there's an aspect of our Kiwi culture which I think is in our favour as we come to this passage. How often would you go to a typical New Zealand home and you'd be welcomed in the door and they'll be all relaxed and they'll say something a little bit like, "Oh, look, we are who we are, you know, what you see is what you get." Something like that. You hear it over and over again. What you see is what you get. And that's almost as if, like, Kiwis, well, we couldn't do it any other way, could we? It's just like, what you see is what you get. We're not going to put on airs or graces. We don't do pretense. We do honesty. We do real. It was captured for me in this scene. I was thinking back. So Colin Meeks, typical Kiwi bloke, All Black legend, recently immortalised in the statue. Poor bloke, could hardly cope with the idea of a statue being made of him. Some time ago, he was speaking at this, it was a huge event, televised. He's a lead speaker, and he kind of saunters onto the stage, lectern, puts his half glass of beer on the lectern. And looks down. See, I was just talking to Jim. I said, "Oh, strike, I think I'm next." Jim said, "Oh, don't worry, Colin. You'll be great. Just be yourself." Don't know who else he thought I was going to be. And there it is. There's the typical Kiwi bloke. What you see is what you get. How could you possibly be anybody else? And if that has anything to do with Kiwi culture and who we are as people, we're going to be well served listening to Jesus. Here we are, Matthew 21. Let's pause and pray. Dear God in heaven, we pray in the name of your Son Jesus and with the words of the Apostle Paul, asking that, Lord, this day your word would go forth not in word only, but in power, in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction. Amen. At verse 23, when Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe in him? But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And Jesus said to them, "Well, neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same. And he answered, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? And they said, the first. Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and prostitutes believed him, and even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him. So a question is asked of Jesus, and actually on the face of it is quite a reasonable question. The question is, by what authority are you doing these things? We have to understand what these things are. So if we like scroll back just a little bit, there's a few stories. One is Jesus curses a fig tree. Now, as Daryl was preaching last week, in this text, and in particular in the book of Mark, as it describes this story, this was much more a personal exchange, well, between Jesus and a fig tree, but between Jesus and his disciples. It wasn't a public event. So we have to go back another little bit. What are these things that these people are questioning Jesus on? By what authority are you doing these things? A couple of events. Jesus comes to Jerusalem. Jesus goes to the temple. Jesus turns the tables over in the temple and causes quite an amount of civil unrest. And so on the face of it, it's quite a reasonable question. These are the temple priests. They are the authorities. Now, if somebody turns up and starts turning over tables, causing civil disobedience, causing considerable public unrest, well, actually, that deserves a question. By what authority would you do these things? It's not just the events, though. There's so much more going on. Here is Jesus. He's coming into Jerusalem. He's on a donkey. There's pandemonium. There's a massive crowd. They're shouting at the top of their voices. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David. And then Jesus is in the temple. And he takes up the words of the prophet Isaiah. My house shall be called a house of prayer. He takes up the words of the prophet Jeremiah. Is my temple being made a den of robbers? There's this kind of, think of it like a symphony orchestra in your living room. Now, either the symphony orchestra in your living room is going to be the most extraordinary and awesome event you could possibly imagine, or that noise is just going to be such a cacophony. It's like, turn that thing down. All right. So the chief priests, the leaders of the temple, they just want to turn the noise down. But that crowd walking into Jerusalem with Jesus, that crowd who is again in the temple, as Jesus is turning over those tables and making such a fuss, they think that this orchestra, Psalm 118, Isaiah 56, Jeremiah 7, Psalm 8, Zechariah, all these words being spoken, it's this awesome noise, this wonderful soundtrack. Let's consider one of those voices that contribute to that. Here it is in Psalm 118. So Jesus is walking, coming into Jerusalem. There's a huge crowd. The crowd take up that phrase. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. It comes from Psalm 118. Here I am at verse 21. Says, I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Verse 26, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And here is this crowd. They're all around Jesus. And they take up that ancient Hebrew word, Hosanna, 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 which means to save. They look at Jesus and they say, He is the one to save. This is the Psalm 118 moment. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Either this is the most awesome soundtrack you could possibly imagine to the events going on in Jerusalem at that time, or it's the most terrible cacophony. Please turn that noise down. Which camp are you in? The chief priests, they can't stand the noise. And so they come to Jesus and they say, by what authority do you do these things? It actually turns out, although the question's fairly reasonable for people who have some responsibility around the place, there's a problem with the question. Because the answer is perfectly self-evident if they would accept a couple of things. One is if they could see that God's anointing was on John the Baptist and they could see that he was truly a prophet of God. Like all the crowd could, most certainly just like Jesus could, who said that John was indeed Elijah who was to come, the prophet of the Most High. This is John the Baptist, who said that there is one coming after me much greater than I. This is John the Baptist who baptizes Jesus. And Matthew's account says, and there's a great voice from heaven that said, here is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now, if you were there, if you heard the account, the stories that were whirling around about what went on, who was John, what he was doing, this Jesus who turned up, this voice from heaven, well, you're not going to ask any questions about what authority. You're going to grab a branch or two and you're going to shout, Hosanna, 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 blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, because today is the day that the Lord has made and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And so Jesus tells a story about a day where two sons are asked to go to work. One says yes, but then doesn't go to work. One says no, but actually decides to turn up and do a day's work. Who are these people? If you read on to the end of the chapter, the priests and the Pharisees, they realize that Jesus is pointing the finger at them. But in this story with two sons, one saying yes, one saying no, but then it being reversed. How is Jesus pointing the finger? Where is the challenge? What is the point? It's about appearances. You see, on the face of it, the priests, the people of the temple, appearances were very good. They were like the ones who said, yes, we are going to go to work. I mean, look at us. We're in religious garb. We're in the temple. We've got the sacrifices. We're doing the worship. We're saying the right words. Of course we're the yes people. And yet there was nothing within them that was able to accept the very Son of God, Savior Jesus Christ, right in front of them. They're the yes-no people. Yes, appearances look good. No living faith within. The other group was the group that said no. And these were the ones who was like, well, what you see is what you get. I'm a sinner. That's it. And yet they hear the words of John who said, repent. And they realize that this was a prophet of God. And so they were able to say, well, actually, what you see is what you get, God. I'm a sinner, and I need you. No airs or graces, no pretense. I'm a sinner, and I need the living God. And so they were the ones on the face of it that were saying no to God by the way they were living their lives. And yet on hearing a call to come to God, they are able to say, yes, I'm walking into this day and I'm living for Him. Let's put these things together. Because not only first century meets 21st, way earlier than that, Psalm 118, that salvation prophecy, that Jesus prophecy psalm, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Who is that one and what is that salvation? The people with Jesus going to Jerusalem, they knew that Jesus was the one to save. So they grasped those words. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus rebukes the people who for all appearances were saying yes to God but had no living faith. And he tells a story about a day. It is a salvation day. That Psalm 118, this is the day the Lord has made. It's got nothing to do with the weather or any group of 24-hour period. It's got everything to do with the age of salvation that is now open in the person of Jesus Christ. And until Jesus comes again, or until we face and meet our Maker in heaven when we die, that day is open to us. That day was just dawning with the prophet John. It broke through in perfect daylight in the person of Jesus and remains open to us. So are we yes people to God? Or are we yes no people? Are we no yes people? Or could we possibly be yes yes people? Here, let's think about this a minute. Appearances look good, don't they? Because here we are, we're all at church. Churchgoers, Sunday morning. Religious appearances. We had a music team. Worship. We've had communion table. There's a preacher. Appearances are good. Well, actually, I could have worked on my appearance a little bit. I noticed I had a coffee stain on my... Look at that. We could work on our appearances, but on the face of it, things are looking good. We're the religious people. That makes us the yes people. Are we going to say no with all our power to being religious and pretentious, like it could ever be just something that is on the surface? Or are we in fact going to be the yes, yes people? Appearances look good. Here we are, churchgoers, so-called believers on a Sunday morning. Are we believers, heart, mind, soul, and strength? Have we turned to God and His Son Jesus for salvation? Do we love Him, heart, mind, soul, and strength? Are we living for Him every day? That's what God is calling us to in this story that Jesus tells. He wants living faith in His people. He doesn't want us to keep up appearances. He wants the living Spirit of God alive and well in us, that we would live out the work of Christ each and every day while this day of salvation reigns. There will be a sign as to whether we are yes people to God. Just like Jesus, people will ask us a question. It may not quite be like, by what authority do you do these things? But people will ask, because we will live differently. They'll ask, why are you taking annual leave to play with kids at church all week? And you'll have an answer like, well, I follow Jesus. It's as simple as that. Why do you stand up against injustice? Why do you seek to serve the poor? Why do you forgive? Why do you offer grace over and over and over again? Follow Jesus. Why do you go to church every Sunday morning? It was a beautiful day on Sunday. I love God. I follow Jesus with a group of people. We're called a church. It sounds kind of religious, I guess. But we love God. And we follow Jesus. Do people ask you these questions? Because that will be the sign that you are a yes, yes person to God. The appearances may look good, but are you living your faith out every day? Are you standing up against injustice? Are you serving the poor? Are you forgiving? Are you witnessing to your faith? Are you living differently in such a way that people ask, by what authority do you do these things? I follow Jesus. Do you follow Jesus too? Let's pray. Dear God, with all our heart, we say to you, we wish to follow you, heart, mind, soul, and strength, because of what you have done, because of the cross of our Lord Christ, because of salvation extended to us, because you loved us and extended your grace to us, so we wish to love others and extend grace. Because you came to stand up against injustice, so we wish to stand up against injustice. I pray, dear God, that we would live for you in everything that we do. Lord, may we be people who have to deal with that question over and over again, by what authority do you do these things, and that we would simply point to you at all times. We love God and we follow Jesus. May that be our cry. In Jesus' name and for your glory we pray. Amen.